Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Sirupan sakatan sakana rakana chan chan sajivan sadhitan sabhitan parijana saitan sri krishna chaitanya devan sri radha krishna parasahagana lalita sri vishakavitansya hey krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kantara kantana namastate tata kanchana gorangi radha vidhanisvari Sabano Sute Devi Panamami Haripe Tata Kanchana Gorangi Vishama Sutpanamari Vancha Kapatru Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namini Gura Chishinama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Avita Gadara Sivashari Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare
हरे
Krishna
कृष्णा
Hare
हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्णा
Krishna
हरे हरे
Hare
हरे
Rama
राम हरे
Hare
राम
Rama
राम राम हरे हरे हरे
Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
कृष्णा
Hare Hare
कृष्णा
Hare Rama 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 Anandarilamaya vigrayana padivecha vissundaraya tasna maha apimarasaya padaja uchitan chandraya namanasya uchitan chandraya. So I thank everyone for listening this evening your time, morning my time, to our continued discussion on the wonderful topic of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, which was the ambrosia nectar coming from the lotus mouth of Lord Sri Krishna, and which is wonderfully being drunk by the devotees who love to relish ras. So those devotees who relish bhakti ras, they drink nectarian mellows of the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is full of ras, that is full of ras. So must be able to relish everything from Bhagavad Gita. So there was one time Lord Shiva, he was describing to Parvati. So Parvati, Parvati wanted to know some of the glories of the Bhagavad Gita. So one time Lord Shiva narrated that there was a Brahmana who was living somewhere in, around the south, basically somewhere in South India, was living there. But somehow this Brahmana, he had married a prostitute. So he married a prostitute and then he developed all kinds of bad qualities. He started drinking alcohol, eating meat, drinking wine, stealing, and also messing with other people's wives, hunting, just like Ajmer. So he was doing so many nefarious activities. And then one time he went to a party. And when he went to a party, he drank so much alcohol. And then he so much so that he became virtually drunk. So after the party, he became very sick. Eventually, he died. So when he died, the next life became a tree. He became a palm tree in his next life. He became a tree. So he became a tree. And then there was one day, there were two Brahma ghosts. They called Brahma Rakshasas. So two Brahman ghosts, they came under they were residing under the tree. So they were residing under the tree. And this Brahma ghost, the Brahma Rakshasa, their story was that in their previous life they had been the husband and wife. So they were actually Brahmana before, and they were husband and wife. But the wife that time, she was very, very crooked minded, she was very evil minded. So because of the, even though the Brahmana was a very learned person, he became very, very greedy. And that's why one has to very be careful about what kind of association one has. So he became very greedy as a result of being married to a human with their wife. So every day he and his wife, they will collect a lot of charity. And they will collect a lot of charity, but they will not give nothing back. Because normally the principle, the Brahmanic principle is that you collect charity and you have to give the charity. You collect something, you have to immediately give it away. So it's called Dana Prajigiri. So this Brahmana will collect charity, he will not give nothing back. So After some time, so this couple Brahmana, so they died. When they died, they became ghosts, Brahmana Rakshasa. So, and then they were wandering all over different places. They were wandering. And as they were wandering, so they came under this tree, this same tree which was been, by which the previous Brahmana had become. So they came under this tree, and then they were resting under this tree. So at that time, the wife of the Brahman, he has a husband that that how can we get free from this cause of being Brahman Rakshasas? How can we be free from this cause of being Brahman, this ghost? So her husband replied that, well, the only way that we can become free from this ghostly body is by knowledge of Brahman. If you develop knowledge of Brahman, if you develop knowledge of the self, and by knowledge, if you develop the knowledge of fruitive activities, is that without such knowledge, it is not possible for us to get free from our sinful reactions. So upon hearing this, then the Brahmana wife has, and then he spoke this verse, King Tad Brahman, King Adhyatma, King Karma Purushottaman. Because this is actually the first verse of the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which we are reading this morning. So the Brahmana asks, King Tad Brahman, King Adhyatma, King Karma Purushottaman, which means, oh Lord, what is Brahman, what is the self, and what are fruitive activities?
Prabhuji?
Yes?
Can I interrupt just for a second?
Yeah.
I know this is a little bit unusual, but we had an unusual occurrence just now. Mother Radharani, as I just said, there's this devotee that just passed away. And I just kind of wanted to like dedicate our satsanga, our association tonight in memory of him, Charlie. So if maybe at the end, if you could just leave a little bit of time that we could say something about him and remember.
Okay,
that was all. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Yes, I will do that. Yeah. So this Brahman was here has this question that King Tad Brahman Kim Adhyatman, King Karma Purushottaman, that what is Brahman, what is the self, and what are fruitive activities? So she has this question, but just by answering, because she had asked this question, and this actually by accident, she chanted the half sloka of this first verse of the Bhagavad Gita. And just by chanting this half sloka, which is basically an inquiry into what is Brahman, what is the self, and what are fruitive activities. So at that time, this other Brahmana who had been in the form of a tree, he actually broke free from the form of a tree. And again, he again attained the body of a Brahmana, completely free from sin. And then suddenly, from the sky came a airplane, which took this Brahmana ghost, the couple. He actually took them to Vaikuntha. He took them back to Vaikuntha, because this Brahmana was, she had chanted this sloka of Bhagavad Gita, King Tad Brahman, King Adhyatma, King Karma Purushottama. And then they become, just by chanting this sloka, they become free of all sins, and then they even got qualifications to go back home, back to God, to Vaikuntha. So this was like a thing. And this other Brahmana who had become free from the form of a tree, and then he attained his Brahmani form again. So by knowing that this half sloka had enabled this Brahmana couple for them to attain liberation, so he also went. He went to this Kashi, the place of pilgrimage, and I started chanting this half sloka. King Tad Brahman, King Adhyatma, King Karma, Purushottama. This became his mantra. He was chanting this. And then one time in Vaikuntha, so Lakshmi, she saw that Lord Vishnu had waken up from his, he had risen up from his bed, from taking rest. So Lakshmi asked Lord Vishnu that, why have you suddenly so rose up from your sleep? What happened? And then Lord Vishnu replied that, oh, my dear Lakshmi, in Kashi there is this Brahmana who has been performing great austerities and chanting this sloka of the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So for a long time, I've been thinking how to award him a devotion onto my feet. So in this way, Lord Vishnu was so pleased with this devotee that what benediction did he give him? So he gave him the bhakti. He gave him the bhakti, and his brahmana was also taken to Vaikuntha. So therefore, so in this way, Lord Shiva, describing the glories of chanting, just as a sloka of the beginning chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8. That's just not to talk of actually chanting the whole slokas and chanting the whole chapter, so how much more. So in this way, the glories of the Bhagavad Gita is unlimited. Jaya Shri Bhagavad Gita ki.
Jaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, text number 1, attaining the supreme. Tarat Brahma Yoga, this is the corresponding Sanskrit verse, meaning of this chapter, means Tarat Brahma Yoga, the yoga of attaining the supreme. Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Kimta Brahma Kinadhyatman.
Kimta Brahma Kinadhyatman.
Kim Karma Purushottama.
Kim Karma Purushottama.
Adi Bhutam Chakim Proktam.
Adi Bhutam Chakim Proktam.
Adi Devam Kinuchyate.
Adi
Devam Kinuchyate.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Kinta Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kinta
Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Karma Purushottamam.
Kim Karma Purushottamam.
Adibhutam Chakim Proktam.
Adibhutam
Chakim Proktam.
Adi Devam Kimuchyate.
Adi
Devam Kimuchyate.
You can please chant.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna
Uvacha.
Kim Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Tad
Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Karma Purushottama.
Kim Karma
Purushottama.
Adibhutam Chakim Proktam.
Adibhutam
Chakim Proktam.
Adidevam Kim Uchyate.
Adidevam Kim Uchyate.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna
Uvacha. Arjuna Uvacha.
Kim Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim
Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Karma Purushottama.
Kim
Karma Purushottama.
Adibhutam Chakim Proktam.
Adibhutam
Chakim Proktam.
Adidaivam Kim Uchyate.
Adidaivam Kim Uchyate. Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Kim Tat Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Tat Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Karma Purushottama.
Kim Karma Purushottama.
Adibhutam Chakim Proktam.
Adibhutam Chakim Proktam.
Adidevam Kim Uchyate.
Adidevam Kim Uchyate.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna
Uvacha.
Kim Tat Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Tat
Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Karma Purushottama.
Kim Karma
Purushottama.
Adhibhutam Chakim Proktam.
Adhibhutam
Chakim Proktam.
Adi Daivam Kim Uchyate.
Adi
Daivam Kim Uchyate.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna
Uvacha.
Arjuna said.
Arjuna said.
Arjuna said.
Kim.
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 What?
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 That.
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 Brahma.
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 Brahman.
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 Kim.
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 What?
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 Adiatmam.
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 The self.
The self.
The self.
Kim.
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 What?
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 Karma.
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 Fruitive activities.
Fruitive activities.
Fruitive activities.
Purushottama.
Purushottama.
Oh, Supreme Person.
Oh, Supreme,
oh, Supreme Person.
Adibhutam.
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 The material manifestation.
The material,
the material manifestation.
Cha.
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 And.
And.
Kim.
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 What?
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 Proktam.
Proktam.
Is called.
It's called.
It's called.
Adidaivam.
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 The demigods.
The demigods.
The demigods.
Kim.
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 What?
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 Uchyate.
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 Is called.
It's called.
It's called.
Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada.
Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Translation, please repeat. Arjuna inquired.
Arjuna inquired.
Arjuna inquired.
O my Lord.
O my Lord.
O my Lord.
O Supreme Person.
O Supreme,
o Supreme Person.
What is Brahman?
What
is Brahman?
What is the Self?
What
is the Self?
What are fruitive activities?
What
are fruitive activities?
What is this material manifestation?
What is this material manifestation?
And what are the demigods?
And what
are the demigods?
Please explain this to me.
Please explain this to me.
Okay, so we're all going to mute. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
So, Papad, in this chapter, Lord Krishna answers these different questions of Arjuna, beginning with, what is Brahman? The Lord explains karma, fruitive activities, devotional service, and yoga principles, and devotional service in its pure form. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the Supreme Absolute Truth is known as Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan. In addition, the living entity, individual soul, is also called Brahman. Arjuna also inquires about Atma, which refers to body, soul, and mind. According to the Vedic dictionary, Atma refers to the mind, soul, body, and senses also. Arjuna has addressed the Supreme Lord as Purushottama, Supreme Person, which means that he was putting these questions not simply to a friend, but to the Supreme Person, knowing him to be the supreme authority able to give definitive answers. Kim Ta Brahma Kim Adyatman Kim Kama Prashottama Adi Bhutam Cha Kim Proktam Adi Daivam Kim Uchyate. So Arjuna is asking this question to the Lord, that my dear Lord, or Purushottama. What is Brahman? What is the self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are these demigods? Please explain this to me. So these, in the last chapter that we just concluded, chapter 7, the Lord spoke at length, beginning with the Lord spoke about his material and his spiritual manifestations, about the various kind of devotees and those who come to devotional path, and those who worship demigods, the different kind of fruit that one attains by that is actually the giver of any kind of fruit, even though one be worshiping demigods. And then towards the end of the chapter, the Lord was explaining the about those who simply focus his mind on him. So they, because they know him to be the underlying principles of everything, so they attain him after death. When they leave their body, they will attain him. So the Lord has been given all this instruction in chapter, the whole of chapter 7. And then in chapter 8 here, then Arjun has questions based on what he had previously heard from the Lord. Basically, the spiritual principle is like that, that one must always be inquisitive. Because no matter how much we know, there's always something that we don't know. I mean, there's no such a thing as the end of knowledge. Like when we hear in the chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita, so the Lord has described so many, many wonderful things. He said, oh, of all this, I am that. Definitely. And then the Lord was giving so many. How? And then he said, by the way, Yaya Vibhutiman Satan Shima Ujitan Ebaba. He said, what is the use of all this knowledge which I'm describing to you, of all this manifestation? After all, with a simple, with a small fragment of myself, I pervade the whole creation. Just with a very tiny fragment of myself, the entire creation is pervaded. Just a small, small aspect. So, because the knowledge of the Lord is unlimited, because its manifestation is unlimited, and there is no calculation to it. So his manifestation is unlimited. Same time also, his own personal pastimes are also unlimited. Yeah? It's mentioned that Anantadev, he has been describing the Lord, his pastimes, his activities, his manifestation. He has been describing this with his tongues of mouth since time immemorial. And he has not come to any conclusion. Every day he's been non-stop glorification of the Lord's pastimes, his lila, his activities. Still, he has not come to any conclusion, and he's been doing it for the since time immemorial. You know, and so how much more can we say that, oh, I've known everything. Now I've read Bhagavad Gita, I've read Bhagavatam, or I've read so many, many Vedic scriptures, so therefore I'm the know of everything. So such a thing does not exist. And the great devotees know this very well. But how much can we know? So Arjun, even though he is with the source of knowledge, Krishna, after all, Krishna is the source of everything, is within, and Arjun actually have very intimate relationship with Krishna. But here, so Arjun is asking this pertinent question. He says, oh, Purushottama. His first address is Purushottama. Oh, you supreme person. And what is the significance of being a supreme person means is also the knower of everything. So which means being the knower of everything, he can give perfect answer. He can give the most definitive answer to everything. So in the chapter 2 of the Gita, when Arjun was describing, so I don't want to fight, I'm going to kill everybody, what is the use of all this fighting, when after all, those that we have, the people that we have, we want to enjoy the kingdom, and that nobody has to enjoy the kingdom with. So what is the value of all this fighting when all of our grandfathers, our sons are all dead? What's the value just to attain the kingdom for nothing? So he will give so many, many reasons why you cannot fight. You know, if you kill all these men, then their wives become widows, and they all become single women. And normally, single women, they can easily be taken advantage of by the societies. And then so many Vanashanka, you know, so many things. It gets so many, many, many. Various reasons why this fighting should not take place. And then Ajun became confused. He said, oh, I don't know what to do. Kayapayan Dushu Pahata Sabava, Pichanitun Samantan, Sahai. Yes, we are sure in this temple, it's my sister's hands at the mountain. I say, oh, my dad, I'm completely confused by my duties. I don't even know what to do, what not to do. I'm so weak. So, therefore, my dear Lord, you are the perfect guru. So, therefore, I submit myself unto you. Please, give me instruction. Now, accept you as my spiritual master, give me instruction. So, therefore, Arjun put himself as a disciple, hearing, to hear Krishna, from Krishna, about how his doubts, his weakness, how it can be clear. So, throughout this chapter, chapter 7, the Lord has been talking about those who attend him, and they have to have different devotees. So, based on this, the Arjun is asking these questions, that Kimta Brahma, Kim Adyatman, Kim Karma, Purushottaman, Adibhutan, Jakim Proktan, Adidayavan, Kim. So, there are five topics which are hinted in this particular text. And then the next verse, Arjun, is going to find out also what is also Purushottama and all that, the preceding deities. In total, there are seven topics which are discussed in this chapter 7, based on the question that Arjun asked in the first two verses. And this is going to be, the whole chapter 8 is going to be devoted to give answer to all these questions which Arjun had inquired about. So Arjun, he wants to find about Brahman, Adiatma, Karma, Adibhuta, Adidaivan, and Adijagya. So Brahman means the supreme reality, the supreme absolute truth. That's called Brahman. And then Adiatma means the self, the individual self. Karma means the activities that we all, which is actually bind us in this material world, the activities, karma. And then the Adibhuta, Bhuta means this material manifestation. What is the underlying principles of this material manifestation? And then Adidaiva, the demigods, all the demigods. What are the basis of the demigods? What is their basis? And then Adijagya, what is the principles of the sacrifice? In terms of the attaining the Lord. So all these are the topics which are discussed in this chapter 8. Actually, of course, Srila Prabhupada summarizes this chapter also in this book. And also another summary which I have was given by a disciple of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhakti Pradhan Chittamaraj is a disciple of Bhakti Netaku. So he also has given a summary of this chapter. I will just read a little bit of it here. He said, the Lord proceeds to reveal to Arjun the greatest secret constituting the supreme, the climax of all religions, which gives the clue to the acquisition of true knowledge of the self and of Godhead. Those who have no faith in him fail to acquire it, strata of faith being the root of all transcendental knowledge. The Lord, as the efficient cause, manifests this universe through the agency of his external potency, Maya, which is the material cause, and the Jiva world from his marginal potency, Jiva potency. So all, both sentient and insentient, and in him, but the Lord is entirely different from. Wonderful is his sovereign power. He is the supporter, indweller, and preserver of all beings in the world. He is the prime cause and stay of all that exists on earth. But he is detached from them all, just like the ether, which though all pervading, remains unattached to all atoms and molecules existing and moving in it. At the time of dissolution, all beings are dissolved into its prakriti, and they are released once more when a new creation begins. But all these acts do not touch the Lord, as he is beyond his material energy. The Supreme Lord retains his all-beautiful eternal human form intact, despite his descent on the mountain platform. The foolish, deluded by Maya, disregard his eternal beauty, adolescent human form, not knowing that he is the Supreme Lord of the whole universe, and that he is the Lord of all lords. But his true or unchangeable Parampurusha, residing in the eternal blissful realm known as Vaikuntha, once someone go there, there is no return. Then the Lord proceeds to mention the fate that befalls those that die during Dark Moon night or the northern part of the sun, when the sun travels from north to south, like that. But those who follow unconditionally and unreservedly are not subject to this fate, but they attain to the highest ultimate end of divine love in its blissful realm. So many different topics which are entered here, which are explained in this chapter here. So we're going to be hearing about how the self attain liberation, and how different even yogis, when they leave their body at a particular time, they go to various planets. And of course, what is most significant at the end of what I was reading here is that the devotees are not really subject to the time factor. So which means devotees, they can leave their body at any time. It's not that, because they are beyond the time factor. Because the devotee, once someone actually becomes a devotee of Krishna, is no longer subjected to the rules and regulations governing this material world. So therefore, there is no question of time factor is there. So we are going to know about the Brahman. Of course, as Prabhupada mentioned here, that the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the Supreme Absolute Truth is known as Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan. So in the Bhagavatam verse, it said that Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan, it is subjected. Which is the non-dual absolute truth that the Brahman, Paramatman. So it's the same person, but it's known differently by different personalities. So the according personalists, they know him as a Brahman. The yogis, they know him as Paramatman, and the devotees know him as Bhagavan. And Bhagavan means the Akila Rasamita Moti, which means he's the reservoir of all pleasure. He's the reservoir of all bliss. So he's not differently by the. So therefore, devotees, they can actually leave their body at any time. One time, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture. I think he was talking on the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And then he mentioned that one time there was a sadhu. A sadhu was going, and the sadhu saw a prince. So when the sadhu saw the prince, he told the prince, Mamaro. Mamaro means don't die. So he told the prince, don't die. And then the sadhu was going, then he saw a brahmachari. And he told the brahmachari, Mahajiva, don't live. Mah, don't live. Then he was going, then he saw a butcher. And he told the butcher that, my maro, my jiva, don't live and don't die. And then he saw a bath and saw a devotee. And he told the devotee, jiva va, maro va, either live or either die. It's up to you. So, the prince that he saw, when he saw the prince, he said, Mahamaru, he told the prince, don't die. Because the prince is enjoying himself now, committing so many sinful activities. So in his next life, he's going to suffer a lot in the earliest planets. He's going to suffer like anything else. So therefore, the sadhu said, you better don't die because, you know, your next life is going to be horrible. Then he saw the brahmachari, that Mahajiva, don't live. Because brahmachari is a celibate, performing so many austerities, eat very less, and, you know, cultivate, you know, spiritual disciplines. So in his next life, he's going to go to the higher planet. So therefore, he said, brahmachari, there's no need for you to continue living. Just go and go. Because the brahmachari is going to go to the higher planet as a result of his discipline. Then the butcher, the killer of the animals, he told him, he said that, Mamaro Majiva, don't live and don't die. Because living now, you're already living in your life now, you're already living an hellish existence, killing animals every day, blood. You're already living an hellish existence. And then when you die, your next time you're going to go to hell, you're going to suffer much more. So therefore, Mamaro Majiva, so your life is already, your life is already, precarious. Don't live, don't die. And then the devotee, he told the devotee, Mamaro Majiva. No. So Jivava Marova. Either you live or you die, it doesn't matter. Because a devotee, you already situated yourself in the eternal service of the Lord. Your relation, transcendental mellows, engaging in the Lord's service. And then when you die, when you leave your body, the same thing is going to continue, ready, because the bhakti is a eternal process. We are saying that we are doing bhakti now. Bhakti is the beginning, and also bhakti is the end, is the goal. It's both the sadhana, is also the sadhya. So bhakti is both the goal and also is also the end process. So devotee, they are engaging in devotion service now, and then when they leave their body, they will continue engaging in the same process of bhakti. So therefore, you know, either you die or live. You know, it doesn't really make any difference. Whereas other people in this material world, they are busy accumulating wealth, which will have no use at the time of their death. I was just reading this morning, just before I began my class, that this guy who accumulated so much fortune, Steve Jobs, the founder of the Apple computer, so he just died. I think that last night or something like that. So this guy said that once he had accumulated so much wealth, so much of fortune, now he died, everything, what happened? He cannot take the money with him. You know, he cannot take the money with you when you die. Whereas if you spend your whole life accumulating real assets, which is love of Krishna, that go with you. Because the real wealth is what somebody has accumulated when one developed Krishna's prema. Chaitanya Prabhu has said, Ramanandare, that who is the greatest capitalist? So Ramanandara replied that the greatest capitalist is the person who has developed love of Krishna. He's called Dhana. Dhana Sanskrit means the wealth. Dhana means wealth. You know. So once I'll just tell you one story here. One time there was a king who was in his palace, and he had so many king's ministers. So one time the king, he called his minister that, oh, I wanted to go to town. I'm trying to find out who is the greatest fool, Mahamoka, who is the greatest fool. So I want to go to town and find out from who is the greatest fool. And if you can find such a person, I'm giving you this gold coin. You should give this gold coin to that person. If you can find a person who can admit to be the greatest fool. But you must make sure that you find such a person, because if you don't find such a person, I'm going to punish you. Actually, it so happened that the previous day, the king, he had been going on his retinue with all his ministers. He was going the countryside. And then one time he saw a sadhu who was doing a kirtan under a tree. The sadhu is doing kirtan along with disciples. And then he asked, the king asked the minister that, oh, who are these people tempting? Who are these people doing kirtan? So the minister replied and said, oh, those are fools. These are a bunch of fools. You know, because they have nothing better to do with their life. They can only do singing. Haribu, haribu, haribu. So you see, they are fools. So the next day, so the king had called the minister, okay, you go to town, find out from me who are the fools, and you know, you must find such a person, but if you don't find such a person, I'm going to kill you. He said, so the king, so the minister said, he said, oh, this must be easy for him to do. So he went to town, asking everyone, are you the greatest fool? Anybody means that, are you, are you the greatest fool, Mahamoka? Of course, nobody's going to say that, of course. Nobody's going to say that I'm a fool. You know, if somebody asks me that, are you a fool? Of course, I'm going to punch the fellow in the face. So how can you say that I'm a fool? So this minister was going all over the town asking everybody if they are fools or not. He could not find a single person who will admit to being a foolish person. And then he became in anxiety. He was coming to the end of the day. He was full of anxiety. He said, oh, what's going to happen now? If I go back to the palace and I could not find a single person who admits himself to being a foolish, so the king will punish me. So what to do? But somehow, as he was going about, he came across the sadhu who they have seen the previous day. And he told the sadhu that, oh, you know, the king had told me to do this, to find a person who can admit himself to be a foolish person. And I've been gone all day long. I've not found a single person. So what am I going to do now? So the sadhu said, okay, don't worry. I'm the greatest fool. I'm the Mahamukha. So the minister was very happy. He gave the gold coin to the sadhu. So the sadhu, of course, they have nothing to do with the money. So he simply threw the coin away. He threw it away. He just threw it aside. So the minister was happy. He went back to the palace and he told the king that he had finally found a person who admitted of being a foolish. And then the king asked him that, how do you know he was fool? How do you know he's a fool? So the minister replied that actually, when I gave him the coin, he simply threw the coin away. So he's only a foolish person that will throw away a gold coin. So in this way, he narrated. So the king kept silent. And then after a period of time, the king became very old. He was very old and then he was in the hospital. He was actually on his deathbed. So this sadhu, normally the sadhu, they are very always compassionate. So the sadhu, he was going about preaching. So he happened to visit the hospital where the king was lying. So he saw the king, and then the king was narrating, telling himself that, oh, I am dying. What's going to happen to my family, my days, my kingdom, this and that. He was basically lamenting. So the sadhu, he had the same coin which was given to him before. He gave the same coin to the king. He said, oh, king, this coin. He said, actually, you are the greatest fool. Because you spend your whole life accumulating unnecessary wealth, and now you are lying on your deathbed now, that wealth is of no value. That wealth cannot help you. Whereas if you spend your whole life accumulating real wealth, which is love of Krishna, that will go with you. So therefore, you are the greatest fool. So in this way, the devotees are always different. So we are hearing today that the devotee just passed away. So, and Srila Prabhupada was mentioning at the end of the last chapter of the chapter 7, that when someone leaves the, think of Krishna, at the time of death, he actually goes to Krishna. So the same way also, when devotees leave the planet, we don't lament that, oh, this body had lived. It's actually a cause of celebration. But at the same time, of course, when such devotees are no more in our association, we lament for the separation because we can no longer relish being in the association. So once we lament for the separation, but at the same time also it's also a cause of celebration because the devotees has gone to a higher realm. In this way, we don't. So both is there. So anyway, I'm going to stop here. You can talk about that devotee. You can also make some comment on all that.
If there's any questions or comments, otherwise, either Jennifer Priya or Ronnie, if you could say something about Charlie.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Bhakti Charlie, he was a very amazing devotee of Krishna. He started coming around the temple in San Diego in 1972, and he used to ride his bicycle 20 miles a day just to go to the temple because all he owned is a bicycle, and he used to live on a boat on the harbor, and he used to have to climb this big hill, but he went to the temple every day and did service. And then he came to Hawaii and he was sailing on the Jaladutta, the Hare Krishna boat, And he fell off the mast and he became paralyzed from the chest down.
Gotcha.
So he needed the bodies to take care of him. So I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to serve him for 14 years. I took care of him. And he's just the nicest devotee that I ever met. He was kind, loving, patient. And in his last days, he was so fortunate because Ramananda's mercy. He was listening to Bhagavad Gita every day, Bhagavatam in the morning. We had a kirtan every day, and he was chanting for 20 rounds a day, following the kadas very strictly, and he passed in a very peaceful way in the middle of the night around 5 a.m. He left the planet. But he's the nicest devotee that you ever met. This devotee had no... I never heard one person saying the slightest thing about him. Everybody that met him just loved him. And we definitely are lamenting, like Prabhu just said, you know. We're very happy that he's in a better position than being quadriplegic. But we definitely miss him, his association.
Yeah,
for devotees, it's amazing how you can be in a position like that, you know, quadriplegic. For materialists, that would be a very frustrating position to be in. You know, it's like almost drive you crazy. What enjoyment is there? But as a devotee, then it actually can be advantageous in many ways.
It's 10 o'clock.
So I did not get much association with this devotee, but just like Jan Shapriya was saying, he's very nice. You know, doesn't criticize anybody, and you know, just absorbed in Krishna Katha. It really should wake us up to remember that you know, any one of us can die at any moment. You know, who had any idea that he would immediately leave his body? So it's the same with any of us. We need to be very, very serious to cultivate Krishna consciousness, because we don't know when we will leave. We have no idea.
Exactly.
To be prepared.
Well, I'm chatting extra rounds today, so that's for sure.
It's also quite interesting that Ishvara Prabhu mentioned that Steve Jobs left his body as well, because it just shows us just the sort of, you know, another type of leaving. You know, we don't know Steve Jobs' religious inclinations, but that he also was a very great materialist, and it's another thing to think about a devotee and a great materialist. It's quite interesting that both have left like that. So that, I guess, can deepen our meditation on this life, and also wish everyone well who lives here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Jaya.
Yeah.
Did you go at that time by his side?
No, because he passed away like during Brahma Muhurta.
Yeah.
And I usually go in there in the morning to hook him up the computer too, so he could listen to class.
Uh-huh.
So when I went in there, he was gone, you know.
Wow.
So it's kind of scary, because Monday we just took it to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, there was nothing wrong 2 days ago, and all of a sudden he decided to leave the planet. You know, it's amazing. And like Ramananda was saying, you know, we don't know. It could be tonight for us, you know. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Should always be thinking. But sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, I still got 10, 20 years, 30 years, 50 yeah. years. We don't know.
Yeah.
It could be any time.
Yeah. That's what Prabhupada said when they were asking him. I was on a morning walk in Mayapur. And somebody said, well, if this war happens, what are we going to be doing? Sankirtan, when the bombs are being dropped, and Prabhupada said, you have to be enthusiastic, but not that much. And then he said, the point of this whole thing, when he was bringing up this war in between Pakistan and India, he said, the whole point is that you have to get ready today, right now, today, yeah. This minute, you have to get ready now.
Wow.
Yep.
And that was the point that he was trying to make with that war thing, you know. Wow. That we had to be serious and come surrender right now because we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why devotees should not think that, let me make a big plan and after us, I'm healthy and this and that. So actually, like, you know, sometimes devotees will talk about, yeah, I'm going to have insurance that for this, to take care of this calamity. But our real insurance is Krishna name. Because we have to take shelter. We have to do our rounds properly, chant without offenses. And without offenses, we don't offend the devotees, offend the holy names, and chant in a pure state of mind. And then we say, you know, that is the only way, that's the only way to our saving grace. Because we can leave the body at any time. There's no warning for it, no warning. But devotees don't, because the devotees have risen above the time factor. It doesn't really matter for him if he lives now, if he lives later. Because he's always very serious about his bhajan. So there's no consideration for when a devotee lives or he doesn't leave his body. So we have to become devotee, basically. We have to become devotee. So it's always nice to hear how devotees are very fixed up, how they, of course this year, so many devotees have passed away this year, so many of them. And many of them, they passed away in a very unexpected second, just like somebody like Gopi Paranatana Prabhu who passed away without a particular signal. So we don't know when our time will come, we don't know. So, but the only thing we know is we can take shelter of Krishna at any time. That's the only thing we should. That's our only grace. That yes, it's shelter of Krishna and the devotees. And we always should be begging for the devotees' mercy. I remember one time in Vrindavan, many years ago, Srila Prabhu Puri Maharaj, he's a Prabhupada, a god brother. So that time he was like about 100 years old, almost about 100 years old. But, you know, he will be having darshan with the devotees. They will be talking, and it will be like somebody who's actually begging. He said, I want every Vaishnava to give me their mercy. It's like always constantly begging for the Vaishnava kripa, for the Vaishnava mercy. And this is someone who was actually on the very high platform. I mean, it was not on that. But still, that mode, that humble mode is always there, begging for the mercy, begging for the kripa. And the only way we can beg for the kripa is by not criticizing the devotees, is by not seeing the fault of the devotees. If we don't see the fault, we don't criticize the devotees, we always beg the kripa. You know, that's the only way we can be in that mood.
Jai.
Hi, Aribo.
Jai, very nice. Not to see the fault, that's wonderful.
Well, let's all remember Charlie and very favorable terms and wish him well in his destination. Hope that he went back to Vaikuntha. If not, I'm sure that he's in an elevated place making further advancement in devotional service. So let's offer our humble obeisances. Charlie Ghi Jai.
Jai.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Ishwara Maharaj.
Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.